Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon, 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 dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Core.
Dun, dun.
Yes, that's right. We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, Tanner, and new guest judge, Iffy Wadiway. Thank you for joining us, Iffy.
How's it going?
Welcome, welcome.
Iffy, are you ready to get into some messy drama?
Oh, I love mess. I was going to... There's a Twitter called Six Brown Chicks Chat, and it's like every Wednesday, it's like an advice panel with the most wild... Like you're constantly being like, this cannot be real. But then one time they're like, this was so crazy, we had to confirm. I was like, you're confirming these?
Oh, that's a fact checker?
Yeah, yeah. So I like mess.
Like it fact checked. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I want you to just picture all of us wearing like black robes just in a big pile of mud.
Oh, yeah.
All right. With that, let's kick it off. Hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justice This is Murphy and Tanner presiding, joined by new Justice Wadiway. We have provided you with the oath to read. Are you ready, willing, able?
Yes. I, Iffy Shikude Ijeoma Wadiway, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the players as well as the DMs against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear truth, faith, and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation of my own volition, and that I well and faithfully embark upon this noble pursuit of the justice, so help me gods. Woo! Specifically Bahamut.
That was really a good, good one. Everyone always really brings good. Their own twist to it.
Uh-huh. And then without Jake Hurwitz here, we've got a new lowly bailiff.
Yeah, that's right, Murph.
That's right, Murph.
Call your wife lowly, dude.
I was going to say, it feels worse when we're not, when we're making fun of Anne instead of Jake.
Yes, razz me, my husband. Put me in my place.
No. A highly, highly touted bailiff, no, Emily Axford.
This is what the meme is, man. What would you do if your wife was a worm?
Gotcha.
Shit. I've been God. We're only 2.5 minutes into Dungeon Core without Jake, and I'm fucked.
That's right. It's the lowly bailiff / wife worm.
No! Make way for the wife worm!
Make way for the wife worm!
Is that the bell? Is that the bell?
Shit, I set off the bell.
Everyone shows up with little piles of dirt for her to eat.
Please provide me with dirt in which to squirm around in, for I am unworthy. I am an unworthy wife worm.
I literally, right before we got on, I was like, we always make fun of Jake for being bailiff, and Em would want to be treated the same way.
Yeah, make fun of her.
As soon as the words left my mouth, I was like, sounds worse.
It just isn't okay.
Let the wife worm speak, man.
Yeah. I didn't say wife worm.
I gotta be honest, my new identity as wife worm is tickling me in places so deep I didn't even know they existed.
Please enrich our soil, wife worm.
Please give me just a pile of mulch and dog and I'll be a happy wife worm.
Remember to eat your veggies so the wife worm can visit you tonight.
Eat your veggies to feed the wife learn. Okay. Whew, I gotta get started because I will never stop. All right.
Everyone quiet. My wife's trying to talk. Okay?
Can worms talk?
My bad. Happy wife worm. Happy life worm.
We all must honor the life worm. That's one of the gods that you swore to.
Yeah.
That is all the wife worms are spawned.
Yes. I think this is what happens in Bloodborne,
once
right?
Every decade. Oh, yeah.
This is Bloodborne stuff. Straight out. Yeah. Definitely. I was going to say straight out of the book.
Ooh.
But I don't know. I guess there's a comic book?
Yeah. Probably. It's probably a lore Bible.
Yeah.
All right. With that, let's kick it off with Heather Holridge. To the Nye, Holy Justices, and their animal companion, Emily, wrote this before they even knew I'm a life worm. You are truly prescient. I present the case of the PCs turned NPCs. Our party was running a high-level one-shot turned mini-campaign set in our DM's old campaign world.
Okay.
We were on a quest in search of a gem within a dungeon, and after we beat the whole dungeon and retrieved the gem, we encountered a near-omnipotent genie. We ended the session there on a cliffhanger with the DM saying, "Next week, we had a guest coming to help us with the fight. The next week, the guest comes in, but he and the DM spend half an hour outside discussing something. Turns out the guest is playing a homebrewed level 25 plus character who came in looking to acquire the gem no matter what. You see, our DM and this character were in another campaign together, and this was a side quest for the player. We were basically turned into NPCs in their campaign as the DM and he were discussing their campaign during all the role play. When our party turned on the player, he and the genie teamed up to kill us all.
What?
We have not played with a DM since. Justices, do we have the right to be angry and hold a grudge, or do we simply need to get over it?
That's of course. Yes, of course you can be mad.
Okay, let's just get that out of the way right now. Yeah.
Being a party that your DM clearly doesn't like as much. Is friendship ruining, right?
Yeah.
But it's funny because I've always been a fan of like the DM creating a Tarantino-esque universe. Yeah. Less feet, but like Tarantino-esque universe.
Some feet.
Where I like feet in my RPG.
Yeah.
I'm also a worm.
Yeah.
So.
But you got the one.
You know, weaving the worlds, and I've had like a dream of like having this like multiple campaigns running that converge into one. But in that idea, they are equal to
everyone. Yeah, right? Yeah. It's because you want everyone to come together.
But to have him be like to me, it's almost confused. Like, was it a PvP thing? Was it because if it's PvP, it's like, come on.
Well, the fact that this was just like an XP grind for this other character or something like that.
And also coming in aggressive, just like wanted the end goal by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Just this level 20 is coming in here and he's going to fuck you up.
Yeah. It's also such a funny beginning to the session of you guys being like, oh, there's going to be a guest here to help us in the fight, and looking out the window and just the DM and the guest smoking a cigarette together.
Just high-fiving.
Is that his friend Bill?
Yeah.
Why is Bill here?
Bill is so tall. Yeah. He left his car running. I guess he thinks it's going to be a short session.
Is he smoking two cigarettes at once?
Yeah, that is so wild because it is the idea of, you know, that meme of like realizing you're not the main character, but giving that to a whole party.
Realizing you're not the real friend group, essentially.
Yeah. I love the idea that they're just like, okay, you know what? Us and our little PCs, we're going to band together and kick out this big 25 plus bad guy. And then the DM was just like, oh no, the genie attacks you too.
No, the genie's here to win.
Yeah.
You don't understand. The genie is an NPC from the other campaign.
Yeah. The genie was actually at his wedding. He was the best man. So the genie is going to fuck you up.
That's another funny part that they were referencing their other campaign while role playing in this.
And it's just two people having fun while like four other people sit there being like, what the fuck is happening? I have no idea what's going on.
I can't imagine being at that time.
It would suck so bad. I would say the person who submitted this, not only do you have a right to be mad D&D wise, you should stop being friends with this person in real life. This is a bad friend.
They used you.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, send me the genie's name, and when I eventually guest on a campaign on this pod, I will die as that genie. I will put my life on the line.
It's like the opposite of a shout out. Yeah, yeah.
I knew those four players were better than me in every way. I should have never attacked them.
Why did I exist?
This has like so many problems with this, but another one that we've maybe overlooked a little bit is the DM, when they think that bringing a badass to help the party is going to get the party psyched.
Yeah.
It's a common DM mistake.
Oh, and yeah.
It's never cool. Everyone wants to do it themselves. They don't want an NPC or a guest player to come in and be 10 levels higher than them.
My rule for badass NPCs or anime rules, they are only there to die.
Yes. If you are
you're in my current home campaign listening, don't worry about it. No, he's going to live. He's going to die.
You're there to die.
Sensei, no!
It's all anime rules. It's either that or they're going to, like, when the charged beam goes off at the beginning of the battle, they're gonna like be holding it off while you fight the bad guy.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I'll maintain the shield.
Yeah,
that shit.
Because that happens occasionally when you're like DMing a game where you'll be like, there's a Tarrasque coming. It's gonna be summoned or something like that, and you're trying to, as a DM, seed that as something that's going to come later, and then your level 8 players are like, well, no, we got to go deal with this now. We got to go fight it. And that's when you bring in the badass NPC to be like, he blocks the horns so the Tarrasque gets 2 less attacks.
Yeah.
That's the way you do it. You don't have it just be like, he comes in 100 damage with 1 attack, 100 damage with the second attack, 100 damage with the third attack. And then he looks at you and he says, follow that.
This is Brian Murphy behavior.
Level 4 fighter.
Follow that level 4 fighter.
No, then the wizard's about to go, oh, actually, he's going to take his lair action real quick.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
How is this his lair?
This is actually...
everywhere he goes is his lair because he's just that cool.
Yeah.
In our home game with Brennan, the first game we ever played, Brennan does have like a world that he had a bunch of different groups in, and we definitely never did this.
Yeah.
Where we like popped into each other's games like, we're 5 levels higher than you guys, so we think we'll just steal whatever your objective is.
Yeah,
no. It almost feels like magic item farming too, just like setting up side things.
Yeah, my head cannon was that at the other table, that player was like, yo, I want this this crystal. It's like, it is in this world, but is being currently occupied.
Yeah.
I got an idea. Yeah.
And then hits up all their 3rd to 4th level tier friends.
Yeah, this seems like maybe they work together and like the DM's trying to butter this guy up or something like that. Is he trying to get this guy to buy him a boat or something?
I think best read I could have on this situation is that the DM thought that having a badass come in and help was going to be a thing that made the party sucked.
I think one criminal offense we haven't talked about yet is the fact that this was like a one shot that got spun off into a mini campaign, which is so cute and the absolute ideal that you want for any one shot. You're like, I'm really doing it. I'm DMing. Yeah. My little one shot, it's growing in leaps and bounds. And then your DM just came in and shot it with a gun in an alleyway.
It's definitely the equivalent of like, you know, you have this like side relationship, you're dating two people,
right?
And it's like, oh, she want to go on some more dates, huh? Okay, well, I guess. But and then like the one you're excited about is like, well, I want to go out, and then you do the double date thing where it's like, well, maybe y'all could hang out and be friends. You could be a polycule.
Yeah, you either polycule or you Doubtfire. There's no in between.
Well, this is more like a polycule where you make it quite obvious to everyone involved that you have a strong preference for one person.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good foundation. Polycule.
I think we're all on the player side here. I think this is pretty open and
firmly.
Bad move.
So we need to punish both the DM and I'd throw in that random 25 plus homebrew PC as well.
Yeah.
Punish them as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe punish that genie too.
Yeah. And you know, I sentenced them to sitting at a table with that one guy who the wizard who takes 20 minutes to pick a spell.
We should also shove him in a lamp.
Yeah. The genie goes in the lamp.
Yeah, we'll build like a decent sized lamp so it's only a little bit cramped, but it's uncomfortable. If you're in that lamp for a while, you'll start to.
You're getting Jafar, dude. You're done.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So ordered. You've been sentenced to a lamb.
It's like 4.5 feet long. Yeah. So you had to like bend over.
4.5 feet long lamb.
Pretty big lamb.
Yeah. You better eat a banana.
Pretty good. It sounds kind of fun. It almost feels like those little pods in fancy airplanes.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, now it like sounds kind of good.
Like the Delta One.
Yeah, like the Delta One. Yeah.
No, we gotta crunch it down. Crazy. If it feels like Delta One, you gotta lose 1 foot.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
3 foot lamp. Three foot lamp.
Yeah. You know, we gotta take this person to our lamp tailor, get them measured, so we can make sure that the lamp is just uncomfortable enough.
Yeah, it's like just squeeze it just a little too tight. Yeah.
Great.
Which is a tight lamp.
And a slightly too tight lamp.
Just a tight little lamp.
Yeah. You're gonna get in the lamp and be like, damn, I look good in this lamp. And then 30 minutes later, ooh, I can't feel my toes.
Ooh, it's starting to get tingly. It
sounds like we're all kind of enjoying the lamp.
Yeah. I know the lamp is slowly getting tingly. I don't know.
Okay.
I sense us all to go in the lamp.
Tiny, kinky lamp. So ordered.
Yeah, you're sentenced to subspace for 2 years.
Filled with wife worms. Okay.
If he took a sip at that exact moment.
Which, just a tip for any of your listeners. If you do Delta One, do it with a friend, because it is awkward sitting next to a stranger and being like, I'm going to lay down. Me and this woman got real, you know, intimate. She had to see me lay down right
you
next to
her. That in the design, but they don't.
Because there's kind of a wall, but like
when you're laying down in a twin bed together.
Yeah, when you raise from your slumber, you're staring right at her. You're just like, oh, here you are.
Did you like at least say like good night?
Yeah. I was like, I'm gonna take a nap. I will be snoring and farting.
I've had 4 glasses of wine and 2 meals somehow.
Okay, new punishment. You have to take Delta One with Iffy.
Yeah.
Just ensconced in a pot of farts. Okay, next up we've got Al. To the honorable justices and improved bailiff, I present you the case of the broken home.
Whoa. Okay.
That's about D&D, right?
Wait, this isn't family court, is it?
Yeah.
I've been DMing a campaign for my friends since 2021. There are 7 of us all together, and we have always played at the house that 4 of them live in because it has always made sense that 3 of us would travel to the place that 4 of the party live. However, their household has become what some may call tense.
Yikes.
Recently, 2 of them started dating each other, which is obviously no big deal, but they moved into a room together almost immediately and subletted their extra room to a friend. Their new housemate does not vibe with the other 2 original housemates, and it's made their household much more tense. And now all 5 seem to be on tense bad terms. Okay, I don't know why I'm
doing the tight little lamp voice.
I know, I blame the tight little lamp. The tension is bleeding into sessions and absolutely harshing the vibe of what has been a pretty silly and goofy campaign. To make matters worse, their new housemate is also an avid D&D player and sometimes stands in on our games as we play in the living room. Oh. And I say stand because they literally stand in the corner by the door of the living room and watch us play.
No.
I've talked about this with one of the other players who doesn't live there, and we've agreed we both find it pretty off-putting, but don't know how to mention it since he lives there, so it would feel rude to ask him to leave his own living room. My question is, am I wrong for considering changing the location of our game to my flat? I live alone, so there will be no roommate issues, and my hope is the change of location would reduce some of the tension. But it feels rude to change a situation where less than half of our group needs to travel to the game, everyone but me. I lay myself humbly before the court.
This seems normal to do.
It seems like a clear cut.
It's so funny though to imagine playing and getting in, because D&D would be, if someone was watching you that didn't know your game specifically, it would be embarrassing to go all out in front of somebody.
This is the person who's DMing too.
To be like, I'm a paladin and I'm losing my faith. And there's just a dude 10 feet behind you with his arms crossed watching you.
Sipping out of a Garfield mug.
shaking his head. Yeah. How I would have played
the
it.
The fact, too, that they describe the roommate as standing in the corner by the door.
Oh yeah.
Which is how my dad watches TV shows that he doesn't want to act like he's watching.
Right. That's how your dad watched. What was that movie with Keanu Reeves?
The Replacements.
The Replacements.
Man loves The Replacements.
Oh my God. What's worse? The dude out in the open just watching it, like a dad watching TV from the corner, or just like spying on them, like only being able to see like one eye?
You like look over in the corner and catch a glimpse of them?
Yeah, and then he just skitters away.
No, this is definitely just a step one. You have to switch it because I'm going to tell you the game plan that the voyeur player is going through. He's going to stand in that corner watching you. The moment one of y'all calls in sick, one of y'all can't make it.
Waiting for the call up.
He knows what level you're at.
I was like,
he's got a character loaded up on D&D Beyond. Yeah. He is an insider member.
Yeah.
He has all the extras and the fixings. He's going to sit in and he's going to go in and he's going to try and take one of your spots. And the worst part, he might be good. You're like, damn, we did need a healer. Yeah.
He might bring everybody together.
Shit.
He's like, damn.
Yeah. It does make me be like, dude, it makes me so curious to be like, just do one more session and be like, oh, hey, did you want to play? And just see how quickly he goes to action.
I just ran over my iPad.
That's so crazy. Yeah. I just tripped and fell and my iPad opened to a perfect character of the exact level that harmonizes with your party synchronicity.
It's also a cleric, but it's a different subclass that I think might mesh a little better. It just did some playtesting.
Undercuts one of the other players. Does a more optimized subclass.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm actually also a ranger, but I'm Gloomstalker.
So you're the DM.
You're Beastmaster, right?
You're the DM, but they've been watching to figure out which of the players they can.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah, you gotta extract.
It's kind of it's serendipitous that M's dad always watches The Replacements from the corner, and this dude would be a replacement.
Yeah.
Right?
Because the only reason I can imagine that any person would sit and watch another campaign is if they're sitting there fitting. Because it reminds me when I was younger and I'd be on the PlayStation, my little brother would just be watching and he'd be like, so how do you play this game?
Come on, dude.
Do you do? What's this? And then after you give him the full tutorial, he's like, so when do I get a turn? I was like, I didn't want you to get a turn.
Yeah. You asked me a question and I answered.
Yeah.
Should I start ignoring you?
Yeah.
And I'm actually an hour into the Twisted Metal campaign and we need to go back and restart co-op. And honestly, I don't think you can handle it.
Just give him a Wiimote and tell him he's helping. I've been in this situation.
Have you?
I have been in a campaign where somebody else who I've played D&D with is like chilling there. My friend Kiana like is the roommate of my friend Bree, who is a DM for a little like home game I play in. She's doing the right version of this, where she just like chills, like hangs out on the couch, will like be on her phone, just like laughing occasionally when somebody says something funny.
Right.
Totally doing this the right way. She's hanging.
You're right, because having her on the phone makes it less like I'm spectating your couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's actually like too cool to be playing with us, but she's like tolerating us.
Yeah,
is what's happening.
That's cool, I think.
Yeah.
She's loudly playing Fruit Ninja.
It's so loud.
Yeah.
You know what? I would say, just on a technicality, I might have ruled against this person, but they asked the right question because they were specifically like, should I invite everyone to my house? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
But if they had said, should we ask this dude to leave or something, you can't. Like, I'm in a tough spot.
I have a question. How do they float the idea of the location change?
I think you pretend. I guess lie to your friends. And you're like, I just happened to get like 10 pizzas at my spot.
I think
you just make it super appealing.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, you know what? Yeah.
That's a really good deceitful way. You're like, hey, I've got dinner tonight. And then like half an hour before, perfect amount of time. Shit, I got it delivered.
Are starting to compound. The lies are compounding.
Or you send out like a really fancy Evite and make it like a big event, like a treasure hunt. To get to the next session, and it just happens to end in your house.
Okay.
I think what you got to do, that's great. That's a lot of work. I'm going to pitch an alternative, which is that you buy like a $4,000 table, and then you take a picture of it, and you're like, damn, I just got this great new table.
I think you need to invest in this lie to make it not a lie.
Oh, yeah.
Because once you have a cool table, they will come.
Wait, but what if you, don't want to buy the expensive table, you just take a picture of it, right? Yeah. And then say, I just ordered this.
Yeah.
And then when the day comes, you're like, fuck, it hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah, I guess we just got to play on my regular ass table. Let's do it.
They ripped me off.
There's also a world in which I imagine where, like, the time it might take you to hear this episode might be and listen to it, I'm imagining this might be another NADPOD fan, and all of a sudden,
crossed,
like, so did you listen to the recent Patreon?
We're going to be at a live show.
Turns out they think I might be a good replacement.
And they'll take the wrong thing.
Wait, I got to check the corners of this room. Yeah, hold on. Oh, shit!
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's our neighbor. Yeah. He really wants in on the podcast.
He's got 5 character sheets in his hands.
But really, the true villains here, right, are the
couple that got together.
I'm sorry,
fuck
guys.
Their love.
You cannot find love.
Yeah,
you cannot find love at the table.
Your love is really inconvenienced everyone else.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It definitely took a pivot though, because I was like, oh, they like That's got together, I, they yeah, broke yeah. up.
Mm-hmm. But it was the fact that they brought in a friend that then didn't vibe.
That didn't vibe with the house.
That's a fresh take on fucking up a living situation by dating a roommate.
Kudos.
It's a fresh take.
Love it. Innovation
we
in the space.
Your fresh take. Yeah. However, we do have to punish someone here.
Yeah. So, are we punishing purely? I don't know. Like, because the roommate, they just want in on the game. They're being awkward, but are they like.
They're also ruining their house, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're throwing the vibes off completely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know who to punish in this situation. Yeah. I think we should just punish the lovers.
Yeah.
Punish the lovers?
Yeah.
They have to break up.
You got to break up, right? Yeah.
They got to break up. Got to go back to your old rooms.
Yeah.
Or you can all join Iffy in his Delta One fart
box. Yeah. The fart box is getting full, but there is room. There is room.
Just text
more
a picture.
People, the less room for farts.
Yeah.
So. Text a picture of your table that you just bought, and when everyone shows up, somehow they're at the airport and they're all playing in the Delta One box.
Yeah, we all have to go in the Delta One box.
Okay, we love it. So ordered. Yeah. Next up, we got Gregory Nelson.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
May it please the court and multiple beverage drinking bailiff Emily Axford.
No, don't let that worm drink too much. You'll get soggy.
You got three out here right now.
I submit the case of the motherfuckers reaction. My sister has been DMing for a group with me as a player for over a year. I also started DMing a group using Curse of Strahd, where she's a player, a few months ago. We had a pretty epic battle in her campaign where she started saying, with gusto, "Yeah, motherfuckers, that hits," and laughing wholeheartedly when her baddies would do damage.
Love it.
This has been in her voice, not the baddie characters. I felt weird and kind of sad after the first session of this, but didn't say anything. Come to my session next week, combat starts, and any hit on a baddie, she's screaming, "Haha, fuck you, DM," or "Yeah, motherfucker." These are things her character clearly wouldn't say, so it's hard not to take it as a personal attack. Oh. I brought it up, and she said she'd try to tone it back in my campaign, but could do anything she pleased during hers. She has since slipped multiple times in my campaign, literally saying, "Fuck you, DM," just to say, "Sorry, sorry."
Yeah.
Is this aggressive behavior acceptable, or is my sister a motherfucking psycho? I await your judgment and apparent motherfucker.
I kind of love it when my players tell me to fuck myself. Mm-hmm. I do kind of love that, but I do respect the fact that this DM was like, "Hey, can you chill out?" And, you know, it's maybe not cool that the sister was like, "I'm sorry, I have to come at you."
Yeah.
Well, but she's also saying sorry. Yeah. She's trying.
I want to know what happened between the last session and the session where she started doing that, because it seems like this is new. Like, this is a new thing.
I guess
a new vibe.
She's trying to grow. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It seems like she just had a really good time beating the shit out of people as a DM, and then has been riding that high even as a player.
Which is interesting because I think if the DM is doing that, maybe it's easier to deal with versus if you're the DM and a player is doing that to you, because you already feel like you're on your own team. So someone who's more sensitive or something, it might be easier if I'm the DM just being like, "Hey, fuck you.
I think that it would be weirder maybe if the DM is saying, "Haha," like, I feel like when I have DM'd, I don't like hurting my player. So the idea of being like, "Yes, they fucking kill you. Fucking bend over, I'm gonna spank you to death." Like, that feels wild to me. Yeah.
True. Although Murph is a heel style DM, like, you like eating it up. You like slurping up those tears. So,
that's why I understand that being a PC and then saying that to you would only, like, encourage you.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It definitely seems like a tastemaker situation.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, what has been said is fair. I think you have every right to be like, "At my table, cut it out, sis." And then at her table, do it. And look, I mean, y'all are siblings. Do that shit right back. Do that shit right back and do it better. Do it for all the brothers out here. Like you know.
It's like
if she's gonna try and get under your skin, go to her game, take it there.
Also ruin her game.
You know what? I love this. I love this advice.
Sibling rivalry at the table. Let's go.
Drag everyone else into your sibling rivalry.
I wouldn't mind if I was one of the other players watching you two go at it. I would be like, "There's a whole meta level of game going on."
We're gonna get a D&D core submission that's like, "Hey, I'm at this game and these two siblings are just fighting the whole time, and they're just calling each other motherfucker and saying fuck you every time they roll."
What do we think about getting Emily's dad to stand over a couch at this match?
Loudly watching The Replacements in the background.
Be like, "Hey, girls!"
Clearly watching the game while The Replacements plays in the background. Yeah.
What is our decision here?
I like Iffy's suggestion.
I think you should
mess around with it a little bit, right? Because you like give her a little taste of her medicine, and if you give it and she can take it, then maybe you do a little soul searching.
That's the table.
It's just kind of like Godzilla style, let them fight.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of reading between the lines here, and I wonder if this is kind of board game competitiveness leaking into D&D.
I think so, for sure. And I think it's okay for people. I think
I think the fact that she's saying fuck you DM just to say sorry does mean that she's trying to respect
yeah.
you. You articulated, hey, can you not do that at my game? She said, okay, cool, and is trying.
Yeah. There's more evidence needed. I'm curious if she's at other tables and that kind of brought out. She's like, yeah. This is fun. This is fun being like
fun for me.
Yeah. But you know, you could do some fun stuff. You know, I feel like I wouldn't recommend this for all DMs. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, every time you say that, roll with disadvantage.
That if you gamify it too, because she's clearly just getting swept up in the game.
So get swept up in these disadvantage rolls.
Instead of a swear jar, there's anti-inspiration.
That's cute too. Honestly, uh-huh. If those are both really good recommendations, mm-hmm. so I feel like either of those works.
Yeah.
Whose side are we on here though? Because we do need to come down.
Well, so. I think you know we have to defend the life form given right of this DM to hoot and holler when they are DMing.
Yeah. Yes, I think you're allowed to hoot and holler when you're DMing, mm-hmm. and then everyone can decide whether or not they want to be at your table.
Yeah.
I think I'm more on the side of the submitter. I do have to step outside myself because my my preference is for people to be mad at each other in a joking way. I think that's fun. But if you don't like it, then you shouldn't have to put up with it. So it's okay for you to ask not have to deal with that if you don't like it. Yeah.
I know, and I think also not to drag everyone into it, but there's more people at that table. What is the general consensus?
Because
if you come to your table and you're like, I don't like this, and all the other players are like, we kind of think it rips.
You have to decide, I guess, even though you're siblings, you don't have to play D&D together.
Yeah,
you can always decide you're kind of not right for each other D&D wise.
I think when I read this, it feels a little playful. Yeah, so I think they just have a playful sibling thing going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that I feel like I'm on the side of the cursing sister. Only because when you brought it up to her, she said she's trying to respect your needs for your campaign. But I mean, there's not really like, I think it just sounds kind of fun. I enjoy your sibling. All right, so I think
it's going to come down to a vote because I'm reluctantly on the side of the submitter.
I'm a submitter side too.
Caldwell.
All right, yeah. I feel like I have to be on the side of the submitter as well.
Okay. That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah, okay. So
I thought
now
about
we have
stirring
to,
the pot. I thought about being a little shit gremlin, but like, no.
Yeah. So we have to punish the sister.
Okay. I like the disadvantage swear jar.
Yeah.
It's full of dice.
Swear jar really
or it's full of two dice.
Yeah.
The swear jar with two dice in it, and you pour it out, and that's the roll.
If she is aggressive in that way mm-hmm. multiple times, then she could be rolling with more than one disadvantage.
Although this is opening up such an insane can of worms, because it would be like, I get not being allowed to scream, yeah, motherfucker, and pointing at someone is one thing, but then it does get into the weeds of like, is no one allowed to curse at your
DM? No, it's not that. It's specifically a yeah, motherfucker, and fuck you, DM. It's just those two things.
I think meta cursing.
Yes.
And I guess it's calling someone a motherfucker who you're related to is especially weird.
That's our mother.
That's Janice.
Oh, that's good. You gotta summon up one tear, and the next time she says it, squeeze out that teeny tear and say,
you know what
mother you're talking.
You know what'll clean this game up real quick? Invite your parents to the game.
Bring the whole
family in.
Yeah.
Go the opposite way. Instead of stopping playing together, bring everybody in.
Okay. Put the replacements on TV so your dad's comfortable.
So ordered. I actually have two more sibling related ones.
Whoa!
I kind of didn't do it on purpose. I guess I did a little bit. So we've got rogue siblings.
We can
today.
Call this sibling rivalry episode.
Yeah,
I love it. Yeah. Okay. Tobosaurus says, to the most honorable justices of the Crit Court, I come to you as a humble beginner DM who started a campaign with my siblings who are all new to playing D&D. Mm. The campaign I created is based off of My Hero Academia's adventure.
Fuck yeah.
They are all supposed to be heroes, vigilantes, but here lies the problem. My sister is a human monk who worships the monastery of Beyonce. She uses a melee weapon called Queen's Lemonade, and to my dismay, Day is a brutal vigilante who takes out justice on whom she sees fit. The first session, she went and brutally killed an intoxicated male NPC who simply greeted her. I mentioned that monks don't typically kill innocents. She commented that Agnes, I guess the character's name, was enacting Queen Bee's judgment. She has continuously enacted Queen Bee's punishment randomly throughout the campaign. Mm-hmm. The other siblings think her character is hysterical and are fine with the repercussions I have thrown their party's way. I don't want to scare my sister off by being too harsh with a punishment or take away their fun. It is nice to have the family playing every week. How do I stop her wild behavior without ruining their fun?
Ooh. So this is going to be surprising to y'all, but I know a little more about My Hero Academia than I do Beyonce.
Honestly, I saw that reference and I was like, I'm going to throw this in here. Yeah, because
you let out a guttural fuck yeah. And you look serious.
The new season was hype as shit. It was really good. You're a villain. This character is a villain. It's just like, if you're following the rules of the show in this universe, this character is straight up being a villain.
It needs to be dealt with.
Here's the problem, though. Mm-hmm. Because as the DM, you do have to know your audience. You do have to know who you're bringing it to. So if you bring it to people who maybe aren't, who don't really want to play D&D or playing it for the first time, and they know that like they can build their character out of anything or whatever, and you show up and you're like, I have a very specific plan, it's not gonna work 99 times out of 100.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't mention whether or not the siblings watch this show or not, but I would assume they
don't. It specifically references the other siblings think her character is hysterical and are fine with the repercussions I have thrown their party's
way.
So
I think the thing is, it's time for you to kind of let go and yes and the table. And it's like it is a game about villains. And now they are fighting your heroes. And I think you can just have fun turning the game on its head, and all the ally NPCs are now their new enemies, and all the enemies are their new allies, and just go that way. Because it seems like you, which I really was the heartwarming into this, you're just having fun doing it. You just kind of have a story in your head that's being trampled on. And I think one of the most important parts of the DM is remembering that everyone at the table is telling a story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I know, based on everything you loaded in with, you had a story. You don't make a whole My Hero Academia themed campaign without a story that you had in mind. Right. So I think it's now time to live and let go and modify that story and tell it. And I think that, in a weird way, as a fellow weeb with Demon Hunter painted nails right now, is more interested than, like, you know, having them follow Midoriya in your version. What would it look like of My Hero Academia that followed the villains?
I had the same thought. Like, reading this, I'm like, the whole family's having fun. You seem to be having fun as well. Just start making their quests be against good guys. Run a villain campaign.
Yeah,
that's
it's just
like,
going to be kind of a silly game, I think. You can't force it.
And here's the thing. Eventually, you'll start a new campaign with heroes, and then you'll get one of your high-level heroes to come.
The
rest of everyone.
To fleece this poor party of all their magic items and bring it back to your hero campaign who you like a bit more. I do also feel like I genuinely think that the fun thing is to lean into the villainy thing, and if it ever goes too far, then they could have a reconciliation and decide to be better. You always have the option of a Beyonce divine intervention or a communion with Beyonce in which she sort of suggests perhaps a different path.
Yeah.
But I kind of think the villainy thing is really fun.
Yeah. I don't know if Beyonce is on Cameo. I don't think she is. Like, I don't know how it's
spinning.
For sure, no.
If she were, I would be devastated. If I woke up tomorrow and found out Beyonce was on Cameo, I'd be like, there's no meaning for anything. Money can't buy you anything.
Literally anything that she's not on Cameo.
Nobody's buying her Cameo.
I would bet literally
she's on, but it's just so dead.
And here's the thing, if you're determined and you want to try one last time to veer them to the side of good, here's a free layup for you. They find out that they haven't been communing with Beyonce, but they have been communing with Becky with the good hair, who's leading them astray.
No! Because they've been saying Queen Bee.
Queen Bee.
The Bee stands for Becky.
And so people now
turn their own
win
lore
back
against
over
them.
The praise and blessings of Queen Bee Beyonce.
That's a twist of a century right there.
They have to do what's good.
That's also so good. Love God, that. That's so Love good. That. You can't go wrong, honestly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all
I will
good
say,
suggestions.
As a DM who does, I do have the same kind of instincts where I'll like watch something and I'll be like, awesome, I'm going to have this kind of storyline that feels like the flavor of The yeah. Witcher or something like that. And then I show up and everyone like laughs at my ghost or something like that. I'm like, okay.
I guess I'll fucking
please,
pivot.
Wait, what'd you say his hat was called? It's,
please take
a dry
my
corner?
Look.
No, it's
seriously?
A flop hat. It's not funny. It's just a hat.
It's just historical.
It's
just
it's not that floppy. It's,
why
what
is it
it's
so
called.
Floppy?
It's just, it's not that
is it made of cheese?
Can I sleight of hand his hat?
Oh, he's a ghost. Your hand.
I got a nat 20.
Okay. You steal the ghost's hat.
His
you
hat's a
it.
Big cheesy pizza. Yeah. Why?
It's just, yeah. He's a Green Bay Packers fan. He's a cheese head now. Fine. Okay. You made him dumb. You made him dumb and he sucks now.
Picturing a cool Witcher ghost slowly morphing into a Green Bay Packers fan.
Yeah, that happens. But you do need to like, yeah, you need to know your audience. And if everyone, if it was like my sister insists on mm-hmm. worshiping Beyonce and everyone else at the table is just sitting there stone-faced, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. But it's mm-hmm. just like, it sounds like everyone's having fun except for you, which mm-hmm. means that.
But it sounds like you're also having fun. You're probably just feeling external pressure to make this be a story about good guys doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And this is D&D. You can tell any fucking story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. I would say, yeah. I think since it sounds like your family's just going around starting fights everywhere, you don't really have to prep sessions because they're just going to go get into a bar fight. You know what I mean? So I would say turn this maybe into your like improvised thing. Test stuff out here.
Yeah.
Just let it be fun and goofy. And then maybe use that to start a game with like people that are maybe wanting to tell a more serious story if that's what you want
to
do.
But there it is fun to think of coming up with like what would the quest be for a group of villains. You can essentially come up with such literally leading back to like a quorum of angels that they eventually someday infiltrate.
Right, but I feel like I think Ooh. Just getting into bar fights and just killing random people is more where they're going. They're not being like, I would like to get the One Ring so I can have all the power.
It is true,
which
yeah.
Which you can build an epic story mm-hmm. towards. You can be like, lawful evil, here's your thing. But they're just like, this guy's rude. I murder him. And it's like, okay, that's...
You can have a lot of fun with the repercussions of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It sounds like that's what they're doing. They're just like,
If you want to dunk All Might's head in a toilet, just do it.
I think based on especially what Caldwell said about how My Hero Academia is actually about villains, I'm going to say that I'm going to rule against the submitter.
Yeah, I was going to say mm-hmm. I was going to do a soft ruling against the submitter for forgetting that you're building a story at the table as a group, which is... Mm-hmm. It just, I think it's natural for every DM, especially if you, and they said they're a beginner DM
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you're very excited about the story you're going to tell.
Totally.
And sometimes you get so excited because, you know, once you start building a campaign, if you're anything like me, I'm building like 6 months ahead.
Yeah.
And, Whoa. But the way I build is it's all a playground and I build on three different levels. I build on a local, a national, a global, and universal realm scale.
Wow.
And so no matter which route the player kind of goes, I have some sauce for them because I know essentially what's supposed to be happening and then let them run into that. But, you know, I try to leave it as open-ended and as possible and really only come in and railroad if it feels like the player's like, I don't know what the hell.
My iffy academia right there.
Yeah,
I love that.
I was sitting here being like, we need to have you on for like a DM advice. Because that was just like so scholarly, like bullet points. Beautiful.
I have a punishment here, by the way.
Yeah.
Ooh. I know that this is a family, so this might be a little weird, but I want to stand in the corner of the room, and when they're sick of this player, I'm just going to like jump in with my hero OC ready to go.
I think that's kind of a gift, though. I think you, because you know My Hero
Academia, I'm gonna ruin the game.
Anytime, need to just basically speak up and blow an air horn every time the DM tries to pivot away from Beyonce and back to My Hero Academia.
Or no, you have to blow an air horn anytime they're My My Hero Academia knowledge
their
falters.
Lore is wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Actually, it's been 4 generations since Quirks developed.
Yeah. But yeah, no, definitely. That's a fun gift for you. It's like, do some Beyonce deep dives and hit them with a random Beyonce deep cut, you know? Like,
she has so many lyrics that you could work into, like, that you could use as mythological lore.
Yeah.
You could be trying to steal that crystal horse from one of her album covers.
Yes.
Okay, great. I love it. So ordered. Next up, we've got John Paul Vetter. Greetings, esteemed justices and their friend Jack. I DM a
James not here. Point against you.
I DM a maritime swashbuckling pirate campaign, and early in the campaign, my party had been shipwrecked on an island that was surrounded by an unmoving magical storm. They had come to the island to find a dangerous cursed sword they were told to retrieve by a mind flare pirate captain.
Whoa.
The party found the sword and set up a meeting with the pirate captain to make a deal. Nervous that the pirate might try to take the sword by force, the party decided to leave the sword with their druid, who would hide a little way away and wait for the signal to bring the sword while the rest of the party negotiated. The captain agreed to get the party off the island and give them a brand new ship in exchange for the sword. Finding the deal to be fair, the party gave the signal, to which the druid replied, "Oh, I'm not there." The druid then narrated that how as soon as the party left for negotiations, he sprinted to the shoreline, wild-shaped into an octopus, and attempted to escape the storm all on his own.
Why?
Confused, I asked him why he was doing this. He explained that his character believed that the sword would be powerful enough to slay the evil sea monster that had killed his family in his backstory, and he was ready to abandon the party with the sword. I then explained that trying to travel through the magical storm. This is a wild one.
I'm buckled in.
I then explained that trying to travel through the magical storm as an octopus would require him to beat a nearly impossible skill challenge, and it would almost certainly end in his death. He said he understood, and he was going to try anyways. Predictably, the skill challenge ended with the sword-wielding octopus being smashed against the rocks as he attempted to abandon his crew.
Great.
Panicking, I then begin to describe the rest of the party how they noticed their unconscious druid floating just offshore. They dove in after him and brought him back to consciousness. When the party questioned him about what happened, he said he had gone out into the water to flank the pirate captain from behind when he was pulled out to sea by the storm. Our cleric then asked to roll an insight check to see if he was lying. The druid then accused the cleric of metagaming, would have no reason to believe him, The cleric was only asking for the role because he had known what really happened outside of the game.
Mm-hmm.
This was the cleric's third ever session, and he immediately backed down and said he didn't have to make the role. I disagreed and made the druid roll a deception check. Begrudgingly, the druid rolled a nat 1. Was I wrong for making the druid roll after the cleric said he didn't have to? Did I go too far to kill the vibe, or was I in the right to stick up for my friend who is new to D&D? I throw myself at the mercy of the court.
Ow. Boy, B, what age? This is the juice I want. This is the juice I want.
Yeah.
Because this is a lot going on. You not only supported that dumb action, but you
saved
it.
That druid's life.
Yeah, you
DM
truly
is a hero.
Yeah, because I straight up would have clapped that druid.
As soon as you were like, the storm will probably kill you, and they're like, I understand the risk. I'm like, sweet.
You're dead. That was me telling you.
Yeah. Great. The waves keep tossing you back and forth into rocks. They're taking death saves, permadead.
Yeah. You impale yourself on the sword. Your body floats back to the shore with the sword, a gift on top
you
of it.
You are skewered and permadead. Even Revivify would not save you.
Here's the thing. You're not wrong for that. As a matter of fact, I think that was, in a weird way, the druid was right. I do think that the priest had no reason to doubt him, which is why I think the DM did the smart move of what should have happened, where it's like, you're right, do a deception check. Because I feel like it played out like it should, because for better or worse, that druid is right. That was the plan. They had no reason to do it, but you did the right thing as a DM by being like, you're right, roll deception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like everything, you did everything right. Everything happened as it should, as far as I'm concerned.
And the dice were sitting there being like, I don't want to tell this story. Yeah. I don't want to tell this story of you just lying and everyone knows you're lying, but we all have to pretend like you're not lying. I'm just going to give you a nap.
You have passive insight, so you would probably know, honestly, if a druid is lying. Like, because they're not going to be terribly charismatic.
Also, he, like, here's the thing, because it's like, okay, cool, speaking of metagaming, why did you tell your party you were lying? Like, if you're gonna, if you're doing that type of, if you're in the character, you send a note to your DM, you let them know what's happening, and then if you, and then the DM will then send you a note back that says, you will probably die.
Yeah.
And you will, for some reason, go, I'm still gonna do it.
It's so not fun to be at the table and you have to play dumb. Too.
Yeah.
It's one thing if it's like, I don't know, a character's doing a backstory thing or something, and you should get to roll for it, or they should have to roll a deception check or something like that.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Pretend that things don't happen.
But let's find out if it works or not.
I feel like I'm not even opposed to the druid like trying to escape with a sword. Like, that feels like motivated by their backstory. It's like maybe a bad move, but I can get behind it a little bit. But like doubling down on the lie afterwards, after you got caught, essentially, after you made everybody like watch your little trick and then it failed, you just instantly grab the sword again and run away.
Yeah. I would definitely, like, you should always you die always have to roll a deception check if you're lying to the party. Like, it's a big thing.
It's Tim Robinson behavior.
It truly does feel like I think you should leave a guess.
Yes. Because it's like, did you leave any breadcrumbs for your party that you were even thinking about this, that your backstory, or were you like, this will be kind of funny?
Yeah, because they left the sword with this maniac.
It is so insane.
It's also
that they just all came up with a thing, and then when they've executed their part of the plan, cut to the druid. Oh, I'm not there.
This is the worst cursed sword narrative in history, right? Because we're talking about anime and stuff. The cursed sword, the way cursed sword stories work are always awesome, because it's always like, you take the sword, it does give you the power to kill the bad guy, but then you yourself become the bad guy.
Yes.
But this is just, I have the cursed sword. I probably can't use it because I'm a druid. I jump in the water. I get knocked out. My friends find me. I lie to them.
You're like half octopus morph while you're saying this.
Just imagining Arthas from Warcraft 3 being like, I have Frostmourne. And just like a single grunt kicks his ass. He's just like, oh, Uther, take me back, please.
Just not even
I'll be a paladin again, I swear to God.
Just not even sheathing it, just holding it like you're holding a hot croissant.
Just imagine.
Oh, I gotta bring this to someone who knows how to use it.
Just laying on the beach, breathing heavily, bruised up. I was trying to flight the pirate.
And you got that tired from swimming?
Yeah.
You're an octopus.
You just got knocked unconscious by sea rocks, and you're just gonna pull off a perfect lie?
Oh my God. How much ink do you think this dude was spilling?
Oh, so beat up.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was perfect. Everything that should have happened, happened.
The cursed sword's just like, I don't even want this guy.
Yeah, it's like, what was the plan? Like, how far is this nemesis? So you were just going to take, like,
just
three sessions to swim?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so you're like, DMing two different campaigns.
Yeah, that like I'm the special player syndrome of being like, I'm gonna have my own scene here and no one else knows about it. Is so no one else at the table likes it. No one else at the table likes it. I promise you. So we're all on the player side here. We're against the druid, obviously.
So we have the punters, the druid.
Although I do agree with Iffy, it is kind of metagaming to ask for the insight check because there is no reason, but. Again, it all worked out because the druid has to roll a deception check.
Here's the fun thing about D&D. You can justify literally anything.
Yeah.
Where you could have been like, something about the way you're saying this makes the priest not want to trust it.
Totally.
Yeah. Can I roll insight?
Yeah, because it is very suspect. Like, why did you go out? Like, you're a druid.
Well, why did you change the plan?
You went out into the magic storm as like a character that can summon storms.
Also,
why'd you do that?
you wanted to flank this guy as an octopus? Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. I guess that's, yeah.
That's true.
That's really the technical question. Like, were they still in octopus form when this was all happening? That's very funny to me.
Out, I think so. They weren't, but I would prefer to picture it that way.
Yeah.
Just like a cleric cradling a nearly dead octopus.
It was just so funny, just the bamboozlement of the whole table to like hand this off to the druid, not knowing that this was about to happen. Like, yeah. They're like, oh, this is going to be a great plan. Mm-hmm. And the druid's like, I run away.
I'm sorry, what's happening?
And then also like that it relates to something that no one else has prior knowledge to, that they're all learning in the moment. Yeah. Wait, you what? Cause why? A sea monster?
Just an octopus with a sword going into the water. So dumb.
No, I sent the DM a lot of emails about my backstory.
They didn't respond, but I assume this is okay.
Yeah, because for what it's worth, not the most, like, the best seafaring monster. Yeah. Like, why aren't you a whale that you swallow the sword and just go
zoom
in it?
Yes. Yeah. Wow, that'd shoot be a sick attack. Yeah. Yeah. Just vomiting swords. Vomiting
ooh,
swords.
At your blowhole?
That's a good spell. I'd
whale
like to
Arthas.
Learn.
We love it.
Whale Arthas. So honored.
There's just something so funny about watching somebody run away at full speed holding a sword.
Yeah. Oh my God. Just so guilty and so wet.
Yeah.
Soaking wet, being like, guys, I was trying to flank. It really does feel like I was trying to flank him and you're so beat up and wet.
I was trying to flank him.
Thank you, Prior Captain.
That wasn't the plan, though. I know.
Why did you deviate from the plan we had? It was going according
to plan. I didn't believe. I'm always flanking people. Guys.
Ah, you made me ink.
I'm a druid. We flank.
We flank. It's flank. What we do. What we do. You gotta believe me. Roll a deception check. You metagame. Yeah, why would the druid be mad? You're lying to the party, an insane story, and they made you roll a deception check. That's what happens. You're also bad at lying. You probably don't have good charisma.
Yeah.
Should we replace this druid with an actual octopus? Because they're pretty smart.
They're pretty smart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can roll, I bet.
Yeah. You can teach an octopus to roll.
Don't octopuses mechanically have to get wet a lot, though? So you need someone in your party.
Tub. Yeah, you need a little tub. That's okay. Yeah.
Like, you know, the octopus who decides
the... Oh, the druid could be the person who holds the bucket.
That's great. They can be the spritzer.
All of your spell slots are going to create water for a tiny octopus that your party's going to love.
Octopuses can form little cities. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's great.
Really mm-hmm.
Yeah, you truly let this person off easy because I know so many DMs who's like, all right, you went into the magical water, you were cursed, you cannot get out of octopus form.
Stick him in a morph.
Oh, that's fun.
That's fun.
Oh, yeah. We'll go. What was the dude from
Tobias?
Animals? Tobias. Mm-hmm. That got stuck as a hawk.
Yeah.
You should have Tobias to this druid.
Spoilers for Animorphs 3.
Yeah.
It's going in the description.
How dare we? All left eyes. Okay. Okay. Then shall we over to church?
Yes.
Shall we to church?
Shall we to church? Since you are a judge, you are also a clergy member.
Okay.
Yes. Are you comfortable with that politically?
Yes.
Okay, great. Love
it's a full package. Yeah.
I'm the sandwiching of church and state.
Okay, yeah.
I don't want to keep it separated. I want it up against each other. D&D church and state.
And the meat is justice.
Yeah.
Separate but eaten together in one delicious bite.
Yeah, yeah. Which is also the body and blood of Bahamut.
Okay, Jacob B says, this is, I think, a really naughty one. I mean, it's just like a bad. Okay.
Okay. Listen, if you're a freaking nanny, if you're a nanny and you're listening to this, get out of the room.
If you're a nanny, this is going to rile you up.
Yeah.
I don't need a riled up nanny on my hands.
Get those tut-tut fingers out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, Jacob B. writes, to the magnanimous yet humble judges, I present thee with a confession of a flubbed spell slot. I've been playing with my group for years now, and as such, we have rotated through DMs quite a bit to keep things fresh because our styles vary greatly. One night, our game was DM'd by one of my more ruthless friends. Our party had just stolen the deck of many things from a baron, but we got caught on our way out with our party warlock held by the throat over a banister. Our party could only watch in horror as we exhausted exhausted all of our abilities and spell slots entering the manor. I wanted to cast Misty Step to teleport behind the Baron and wrestle my friend from his grasp, but after realizing I didn't have the spell slot to make the maneuver, I decided, ah, fuck it, it'll look cool as hell if it works. And even though it did look cool as hell because my little kobold sorcerer somehow succeeded the strength check to wrestle my boy free and escape, I was left at the end of the session watching the Baron's manor burn to rubble in the distance as we rode away, feeling like I had dragged a knife through the canvas of our world. I await your judgment.
Ooh. You know,
so this person lied about having a spell slot.
You've already punished yourself because that rad as hell moment was stolen from you. You just feel guilty.
Yeah.
And let that be a lesson to all of us. That if you manufacture rad as hell moments, they will cease to be rad as hell.
Yeah.
I'm on the other side of that. No, every D&D show you've watched online has done that in some way. I'm going to break the seal. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to keep it funky because we're all telling a story at the table. And if it's best for the story and it's not cheesing in a way that is breaking the game just because you want it to, but you want to tell the best story, sometimes we do a little flub, and I look at it as an anime moment.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I twist that further?
Yeah.
I feel like that anime moment works, but like I think you got to bargain for it.
I think you got to ask the DM. I agree. That's what I feel.
Because I think just making up spell slots.
That's not so good for me.
Yeah.
Maybe you could ask the moment. You're sitting there. I don't know what you were. Maybe a sorcerer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you are. You're in a desperate moment, the DM's probably in the mood to bargain.
Yeah.
And they're probably like, all right, if you do this crazy thing, take this crazy bad thing.
Right. Yeah. Ultimately, at the end of the day, what happened was they grabbed the Baron or whatever, the bad guy.
Yeah.
So it's like, did you have to Misty Step to do that? I wonder if there's some other athletics check or something that you could have done.
You could have thrown a goblet.
Because the big thing was your little kobold succeeding on this athletics check. So I think this was all within. You
range.
Could have had your anime moment. It just had to have been agreed upon, and I think everybody would have been pumped.
Yeah.
And a DM loves nothing more than a bargain. Just like watch their lips lick.
I just want to just point that Caldwell was staring dead in the eyes of Murph. Beaming, just the eyes locked.
I love as serious as he was when he tongue work those thin little lips.
Fuck yeah! My Hero Academia.
These are my multitudes.
So you are forgiven because
you're absolved. But I think that's pretty naughty. And sometimes I think that not having enough spell slots means you need to get creative with your cantrips.
That's true.
Was there a cantrip in there with which you could have created a cool anime moment?
Yeah, it's also again, it's just a bonus action spell. I wouldn't have been surprised if you couldn't have done some arcana check for it or something like that.
Yeah, it could have worked out. And there are just kind of it varies from table to table, DM to DM. But sometimes, you know, I think the bargaining and the trying works. That's what I did when I was doing Bloodkeep, and I was a rogue, and I usually play, you know, fighters and barbarians, and I learned very quickly rogues don't take punches as and I had to stand in front of this eagle and just and just do a charisma check because I had no other options. You know, it came out good.
Eagle became like your best friend.
So sometimes it helps to try and be creative other than the flub.
Right.
I think the definite takeaway here: find your anime moment.
You don't need a Misty Step to have an anime moment. Yeah,
I don't think so.
That's true. Let it be known. All right, and with that, we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. We're going to have Iffy over on our Patreon with us to do some bonus cases. Thank you, Iffy, for joining us.
Thank you.
Do you have anything you would like to plug?
Oh, yes. I guess I'll plug some stuff. Iffy Wadiway on Twitter and Instagram to always see when I'm doing shows in your area. There are hot comics in your area, and they want to tell jokes to you. It is me.
They
want to
get in a tiny lamp with you.
if you like movies, Maximum Film on the Maximum Fun Network, and if you like this tabletop stuff, which I'm assuming you do, it'd be weird if you didn't. I just started to Get on the Horse, a new thing with my friend Annika Seeley, where we're going to be playing Duster. That's going to be our first campaign.
Whoa!
a post-apocalyptic Western. Cool. Which, so it was very cool.
Where can you find that again?
It's called Get on the Horse. Or Goth for short. But Get on the Horse.
Nice. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Right now, when does this drop?
On
this
Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, right now we have the Kickstarter for the first campaign going. Lots of fun stretch goals. You get a goth horse if we get one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Hand painted by Annika. So yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So hand painted good stuff. So we're gonna keep it going, and we got some cool stuff in the future.
I need that horse.
Yeah.
Sweet. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to plug?
I do. I have a couple more episodes on Critical Role.
Woo.
So check them out because it gets crazy.
Wow. All right. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Hold on. Okay. And we have some live shows for you to check out. You can get those tickets over at nadpod.com/live. Caldwell, where are we going to be?
Ooh. On September 13th, we're going to be at the Pantages Theater in Minneapolis. Then we're going to Madison, Wisconsin on the 14th. Then Milwaukee on the 15th. Chicago on the 16th. Then in October on the 26th, we're going to Los Angeles. Followed by that, we're going to Denver on the 27th. Sacramento on the 28th. Portland, Oregon on the 29th. Las Vegas, Nevada!
What?
On November 10th. November 14th, New Orleans.
Nowlands.
Nerlands.
Nowlands.
New Orleans.
Nowlands.
More like Nerd Orleans, right? Because we're going to be there rolling some dice. It's going to be November 14th. November 15th, Orlando, Florida. And finally, November 17th, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Nadpod.com/live. Nerlions.
Check that out. And in the meantime, you can follow us on social media that we may or may not use. Iffy Wadiway on socials. Mm-hmm. At CH Murph is me. At Caldy's Caldwell. And at Axford's Emily. And you can tweet.
Actually, I'm going to change it to Wife Worm.
We don't know who runs the Wife Worm account. So we are not going to be responsible for whatever Wife Worm posts.
Oh, shit. They're a blue check. They're a blue check.
We don't know.
They sell NFTs. Worm FTs.
Okay, I would like to formally distance myself from Wife Worm.
No, we don't know. Let's not slander Wife Worm. We don't know anything.
We got to cover our bases.
Yeah, okay. You can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are. Youth of a nation. We are. Youth of a nation.
Forgot to tell you that we do that.
Yeah, no. It took me back.
Dungeon.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Cutter W., Feared Al., Daniel G., Dungeon Mama, okay, maybe a little bit sexual, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P., Vincent W., Victor T., a.k.a. Balnor's Boy, Hoyd's Friend, Justin I., Ragnar Fairdwind, TJM, Treylay the Cray, Disillanius, Christopher B., Damuel R., Jordan L., Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, another cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Princess Yar, Michael L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., star of every film ever made in Bohemia, now starring as a tin of beans in Hard One's reality show Airship Interiors, Samuel B., Mike H., Alka-Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G., Tyler F., Panama James, Andrew the Druid, Herodrian, Rexthaniel the White, Diana DL, CC Lulu, Timmy R, Lucas B, Ryko, it's Kevin. Colder will come cold again. Winter is coming. Hashtag CCC forever. Shout out to my fairy followers. Taylor B, the Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Steven C, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Jake L, Nick W, Swashbuckling, Swag, Snagger, Foster the Queerest Duck, wishing everyone a happy Pride Month, William W., Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD., Riot Ryan, Hungry Dave's Frisbee Golf Bud, Ananarama, Percival Frederick Stein, Von Musso, Klausowski de Rolo III, Adam the Simple Dimples,
J. Dragonborn, Vincent Thrum As You Are, D. The Sandrian, Ben A., Dave H., Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F., DPC Is Awesome, Sean, the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelboldar, Summer Rose, aka Grand Tear, Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C, Kelslay, Misa of House and Zunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, aka Valace Raptor, Be Perky Always, Pat L, Savaxel, Lauren H, Talia, Ryan S, The Bone Duster, Robit CRSP, Ball Business Illustrator asking for a request. How about somebody crammed into a tight little lamp? Ploops, Carly A, Addie K, Connor S, Salil, Jack M, Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T, Jack H, Crabster Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways Towards Tomorrow, Aphorix, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Noah the Bagel of All Things, James G, Everything Bago, the Aladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey, Dandy, Eric B, Marcos P, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota JP, Frida M, Pagos, Betrothed Self-Proclaimed Fae Prince, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, Leah C, Hunter H, who's super excited for the Midwest live shows this year, and we'll be at all four shows. Excited to see you, Hunter. Maybe Pixel Stars, Akash T, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, our dear friend Simon singing Game Over. He says, eternal sleep is better than facing Morpheus alone again. Keychains, Pentium 2 processor, Lorelei the Succubus, and Kyra her busty queen. Turt Cobain, the Tortle Barbarian, your friendly neighborhood Yaunt and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid, John Adams, yes, like the president, Meg the mail carrier, manager of Bohemia, who has gotten promoted due to her superb service to Simon, James F., M4L, Austin S, Wayfarer, has now settled into their new life in the Fae Realm as a florist. What could go wrong? Barpo Goodbarrel, Bardbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Mary Beth C, Melora Devotee, Welshlander, Garrett G, aka One Big Curd, Mr. D, Dana the Daisy, Sean J, Ethan B, Renee the Monster Captain, Gabriel W, Rinkerbell, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who is working hard on her audition for the lead singer of the Mountain Crows, Winter Slade, Forrest H, aka Life is Like a Box of Martha Togold Sticky Buns, Riley S, Fico, Angry Wheat, your boy Anthony, who moved positions and can't listen to podcasts at work anymore, Josh H, Manco Empanadas, Trogdor the Burninator, Clementine T, Caleb L. This message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag CCC, Alex R, Bunker Master and Player Disaster, Cantrip Dumbledore, the Bear Onesie Wearing Barbarian, MJ, the BFG, Drinking Tea by the Sea, Dogs of Babel, Calvius Silverfang, Gino T, Mama Bell, the Silver Serpent herself, Funir, Dr. Tolkis, Bow Chicka Wow Wow, Derek D, Tristan G, Leon K, legendary hero of Bohemia from a future campaign, Jazzman and Fam, Papa's elite team of lawyers currently representing Emily in the case of Yabba Dabba Do, No Sir, Yabba Dabba Don't, Alex K, Joshua P, Joshua S, Martin T, Alexande, Linz W, Emma S, Red the Reforged Warforged, Mr. Kraft, Dragon Knight 86, The Godly King, Hard Ones, Hot, Hump Gunk, Shelby, who now made it 2019, following the two crew back to the present, attempted to pet Ryan the Ram, who then headbutted her. Evan S, Jake S, Preyton S, Jackson R, T3RHX, Snailist the Subtle Sneaky Snail, Michelle, Andrew S, Caitlin D, Colby S, Blake H, Big Bev's Bestie, Lloyd the Rat that Controls My Cerebellum, Opa Remy from Ratatouille style, and of course, Shelby C. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod, to listen to our after show and more cases. Thank you to all of our listeners, our benevolent council of elders, and of course, all of our Patreon subscribers. We'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.